This is Bob Fetrakis with The Other Side of the News, brought to you by thefreepress.org. WCRS Community Radio 98.3 and 102.1. This is Bob Fetrakis bringing you The Other Side of the News. And what's been taking up the news lately is the assault by Israel on the Gaza Strip. And the question that most of the world is dealing with is how to stop Israeli aggression. Although in the U.S., it seems to more to focus on Hamas, despite the disproportionate amount of killings between the two sides, with really the Palestinian civilians in the Gaza Strip taking the brunt of the punishment, the deaths, and the casualties. I have Mahmoud El Youssef in the studio, a retired U.S. Air Force veteran and a locally based writer. And he's been active locally in trying to explain it from a Palestinian perspective. And your background, are you Palestinian?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me, first, Bob.
Oh, you're welcome.
What we're having in Gaza right now is basically nothing more than genocide committed by the Israeli defense forces against innocent and defenseless Palestinian locked up in Gaza for the last 7 years by Egypt and Israel, enable and deny access for free movement, electricity and water and medicine, and Israel is bombing them to submission. And today, finally, Egyptian negotiator managed to have both sides to agree to 72 hours ceasefire, in which Israel, the day before, argued that they will not negotiate under fire, which I find it very ironic, because for the last 5 weeks, that's what Israel was actually doing in Gaza, bombing the strip from sea, air, and ground, causing roughly over 2,000 casualties, according to the UN. 80% of them are civilian women, children. Plus, we have over 10,000 injuries with no place to go.
And how many Israeli casualties does the UN say occurred?
According to the latest figure on the Israeli military admission, that they have 67 casualties, most of whom are a member of the Israeli Defense Forces, basically soldiers. There's 3 civilian and 1 Thai worker or guest worker who's working in Israel. That's basically, if you look at the figure in the tally sheets of this aggression in Gaza, it's obvious and it's clear which side is targeting civilian, which side isn't. When you have 2,000 civilian being killed, mostly women and children, in Gaza, obviously Israel is engaged in mass killing in Gaza, whereas Palestinian basically targeting soldiers and engaging in combat operation with them.
Now, some listeners may question your use of the term genocide. They'll say it's too strong. Why do you use that term?
Because actually that's what the Israelis are doing right now in Gaza. They're not targeting military target. They're hitting civilian indiscriminately. They're hitting hospitals, universities, churches, school, clinics, electricity, grid, sewer system, left and right. They're forcing people to flee in basically ethnic genocide. That's what the... Not even the Nazi, they didn't go that far against the Jews in Europe back in the 40s. And obviously, Israel have used every conceivable weapon in Gaza to eliminate Palestinians except the nuclear bomb. That's the only thing left for them to use to settle the differences. And it started 5 weeks ago when Israel claimed all of a sudden that 3 of its settlers have been kidnapped, and 2 weeks later found somewhere dead, buried in the West Bank. Yeah, if you know, if you're familiar with the map of the Middle East, the Gaza and the West Bank are not connected together. It's separated. It's almost like a state of Rhode Island and state of Montana. They're not connected together. How could someone commit crime without knowing who really did it, or without anybody claiming responsibility? You punish someone else, and then you say, oops, Hamas fired rockets. No, you started the mess. You provoke the Palestinian in Gaza to fire back. And for anybody who argue that Hamas racket is the problem and blaming Hamas for it, it's basically like blaming a woman for bunching her rabies. It is odd. It's inconceivable. According to the international law and UN resolution from 1974, Palestinians have every right, or basically what, quote unquote, what the UN resolution said, any occupied people have the right to fight their occupier with whatever available means to them. Period. End of the sentence. We in America, we fought for freedom and independence in 1777. Why should we deny this to the Palestinians, same aspiration? All what they want is freedom and independence like we did from brutal military occupation.
Now, the Israelis have insisted that they've had to hit these civilian targets, including, I might add, UN schools that were acting as official shelters for civilians, that they've had to hit these targets, these hospitals, because Hamas is using these people as shields. How do you respond to that point? And I would say it's a consistent talking point from the Israelis.
What the Israeli doing is really trying to put a good face in the gruesome and ugly crime committed in Gaza. According to CNN, ABC News, and UN official spokesmen, who all flatly denied that the Palestinians were using schools, churches, mosques as storage area or launching attack in Israel. Where the attack in Israel are launched from remote area, from underground, and they were engaging the Israeli soldier in face-to-face combat by going underground tunnel. What Israel is doing is trying to inflict heavy casualty by their own admission in civilian population, so they would rebel against Hamas or force Hamas to give up and raise the white flag. It's simple like that. What they did is in the contrary. Most people in Gaza now, they support the resistance. And we don't have Hamas or Jihad anymore. We have Fatah, Hamas. They, all of them, combined resistance forces against the Israeli occupation. Now they're speaking Palestinian for the first time with one voice.
When we look at this situation historically, it seems that the role of the Arab League, and really the role of Egypt, which, by the way, is burning the books of the Islamic Brotherhood today, an elected democratic government that was overthrown in a recent military coup. How do we explain the role of Egypt in this conflict? They seem to be siding with, clearly, the Israelis.
Without a doubt, Bob. Shamelessly, the government of Egypt under Sisi, which is really who's an unindicted war criminal who overthrew legitimate and democratic elected president for the first time in Egypt, someone who was never in the military, and lock him up and put him in jail and throw the constitution down the drain. And when Egyptians took the street and protested against that, he massacred them. Thousands and thousands of them. The first thing Sisi did when he took over power was really to destroy the tunnel connecting Gaza to the outside world through the Egyptian border. He destroyed 300 tunnel, which the Gazans were able to smuggle food and medicine into the strip because of the 7-year siege imposed on them by Israel, and Egypt as well is active participant. Egypt could never be really honest broker or negotiator for peace between the Palestinian and the Israeli, because they are taking part in the conflict. They're taking side. Even the Israeli officials say Egypt is our friend. The same apply to the U.S. We give the Israeli weapon every year $3.5 million. So every day the sun rises here in America, $15 million out of tax money, hard-earned tax dollar, goes to the state of Israel, which really indeed subsidize the occupation and the bombing of Palestinians and the killing in Gaza and the crime that they committed. Not only that, we give them UN cover and political cover. We take their side. How could the U.S. then be honest broker and negotiate between conflicting parties? When they themselves, they would not talk to Hamas. They would allow Egypt to do that, the Israeli within. And the reason, look, let's face it, the reason we have peace in Ireland is because both sides sat together in negotiating table in late 90, and now they have peace between the IRS and Northern Ireland. So, like the expression, like the saying go, it takes two to tango. You can't expect peace in the Middle East without negotiating with your enemy or your partner.
I'm speaking with Mahmoud El Youssef, a retired U.S. Air Force veteran and local writer, and a Palestinian American. What's interesting, I had the privilege of being one of the only Americans to ever sit in Gaddafi's tent, and questions were asked to Mr. Gaddafi, and he said, yes, I admit to training terrorists. That group was the Irish Republican Army, the IRA. I trained them. You and your President Clinton invited them to the White House and negotiated a peace treaty with them. And you funded that terrorist group in Boston and in New York and in Detroit. And he said, that's what you've got to do. You've got to essentially, you know, you call these groups terrorists, but you've got to look at the root cause of any problem is that you have to negotiate. If a group defends itself against a more powerful force, were not the U.S. military terrorists when they took on the British? And how do you see this situation? We simply denounce Hamas as a terrorist group, but shouldn't they be part with other partners and actually reaching a settlement in the Middle East? And hasn't the United States dealt with, I mean, wasn't Begin, one of the founders of Israel with the Stern Gang, was he not a terrorist who targeted and killed civilians?
I'm glad you mentioned Menachem Begin. The first time he arrived in London, I was in my way to Europe and have to go through Heathrow Airport to switch airport, and I get arrested for no reason. I have transient ticket. But this man who was wanted by the British government for £10,000, he was given the red carpet treatment. And speaking of the IRA and stuff, the people in Gaza lost equivalent, the same equal number of people who lost during 9/11, roughly, very close to 3,000. And the Irish in Ireland, they lost almost the same number of people throughout the 30 years of fighting from late 60 to late 90. And it seemed like the whole world is indifferent about the Israeli crime as if nothing happened.
Why is that? Is it because they're Arabs? Is it because they're powerless? Is it because of the APEC lobby in the U.S.? Is it because Israel is a proxy of the United States?
Well, it's really a combination of both, Bob. First of all, the Arabs are leaders, so to speak, the 22 Arab nations, are coward, unable to do anything about it or come up with anything of substance. The U.S. government, any U.S. public official who run for office have to take an oath to support and defend Israel, right and wrong. Number three, they own most of the news media in the West, 97% plus, are either Jewish-owned or controlled. So we only get the Israeli version of the news of event. Most people these days get their information from the internet and social media. They don't rely on lamestream media anymore because they know it's not really fair and objective, but rather is fake and biased.
Well, I noticed in this last battle, the New York Times, that has historically towed the Israeli line, they ran a fair amount of our articles above the fold, including the killing of those four children on the beach playing soccer, is that there's something about this current Israeli offensive that has shocked the conscience of the world, and not even the New York Times was willing to look away when they deliberately targeted civilians and lied about it.
You know, Bob, it's sometimes hard to hide your bias. So, obviously, they have to tell the truth, and people are calling, and Americans are waking up and calling their public official, their radio and TV station, and expressing their concern about it. And obviously, the news department have to cover these events, like it or not.
98.3, 102.1. This is WCRS FM, your community station. You're listening to The Other Side of the News. I have Mahmoud El Youssef in the studio, retired U.S. Air Force veteran, local writer, Palestinian American, discussing the current situation in Gaza. Could the New York Times, because there's also been a more protest in Israel by Israelis, could there be a real feeling based on fact that Israel has massively overstepped its bounds with this targeting of civilians and what looks like almost a complete destruction of Gaza? I mean, they're blowing up, it seems like, everything.
Bob, looking at those images in internet, in Facebook and stuff, coming from our friends and contacts in Gaza, it's really heart-wrenching. Sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I can't look at it more than a few seconds. It tear my heart apart. Images of children without limbs, without head, in pieces, mothers wailing, and people houses in total rubble. It looked like Nagasaki or Dresden during World War II. It's hard to imagine where people will go for safety. Israel, yes, give them warning to leave. They go to beaches, and the border to Egypt is closed. They have no place to go. They target them there. And when news reporter from the U.S. speak out about it, they've been dispatched by their their network to go back to Moscow, back up another report from Gaza because of the influence of Jewish lobby over the network.
So what's the situation on the ground with medical treatment? I saw one report that Turkey may be, or a group coming from Turkey may be actually escorted by Turkish warships to attempt to get medical aid in the country. I'm thinking, if somebody in NATO, I don't know if that story's true or not, but if an actual NATO ally appears to be willing to attempt to break the blockade, this is a tremendous tipping point in terms of security and world history.
I saw the same report you did, Bob. It's hard to believe that Turkey will engage the Israeli in a combat over the Mediterranean or
international. So you think they'll stand down if they're confronted?
It's really applying pressure in the Israeli. Look, if you're not going to allow our medical supplies and medical team to go in through Egypt, we're going to send our troops. It could be a bluff. But you have to keep in mind, Turkey in the past few years ago sent many ships in the Turkish flotilla where the Israeli killed about 10 people and injured over 50 armless people and beast activists who brought medical supply, wheelchair, food, medicine, blanket to the people in Gaza. What the Israeli did, they killed 10 of them point blank, executed them and took the rest and stole their personal belonging, money, credit card, laptop, camera, all of them. They took it. Israel, after strong protests from Turkey and they closed the Israeli embassy, they finally, the Israeli admitted they made a mistake, they apologized about it, and they compensated the victim of the Turkish flotilla.
Now, when we're looking at this situation, it appears a tremendous irony. The U.S. was dropping with C-130s, 20 tons of relief to certain Iraqis, And what is the U.S. doing for the people of Gaza, who are under the most horrendous siege since World War II?
You know what? I just saw the report, Bob, about dropping food supply and blanket in people in Mosul. And then, obviously, the president issued an order to bomb them the next day to the people there, which is, I find it odd. I also thought about the Berlin airlift, the 13-month continuous airdrop in Berlin by our airlift command then. I also thought about Haiti when it was hit by the earthquake, Turkey, Pakistan, and, you know, the search and rescue teams from all over the world. Sadly, we have not seen any of this take place in Gaza, where people can go there and help in the aid and rescue of people under the rubble. I don't know why. It just seems people lost their humanity with it.
Yeah, why isn't the UN Security Council sending in peacekeepers to ensure that aid will enter the Gaza Strip? I mean, rubble everywhere, tremendous need for medical supplies. Why doesn't the UN act?
They're probably giving Israeli more time to finish Hamas and the Palestinian resistance into submission. If not, then unless there is public outcry
over
the world.
But is that going to happen?
No,
I mean, realistically,
not.
What they're going to do is disproportionately kill innocent civilians.
That's what they're doing. They're retaliating until doomsday. The Palestinian resistance said loud and clear, we will not end the war and fighting until our demands are met. So what are the Palestinian demands? Let's discuss it.
Okay.
They want the siege, the illegal an inhumane siege in Gaza be lifted, which is, it had been imposed by Egypt and Israel for the last 7 years.
So this demand is coming from Hamas or the
joint? No, all the Palestinian, the joint resistance.
Joint
they
resistance.
They say, look, we want the siege to be lifted. We want to be free like any other people around the world, to move freely. They're good, you know, travel
which
abroad.
Which is a recognized right of people under the UN charter and principles?
Absolutely. Number two, they want Yasser Arafat Airport in Rafah to be rebuilt, that the Israeli destroyed in December of 2000 and 2001 as well. This was built by project by EU and Japan and Morocco. The Israeli destroyed it for no reason. They want the harbor in Gaza to be open for international traffic. And keep in mind, the airport and harbor will connect the people of Gaza to the outside world for trade, for economic development, and what have you. By not allowing them to do so, you are isolating them from the rest of the world and shattering their dream for having independence state in the future. Gaza, the resistance in Gaza, they wanted the buffer zone imposed by Israel, the 3-mile buffer zone that between Israel proper and Gaza, to be eliminated. Why? Because people there have their farm to go to and care for. That's their source of income and living. They want the destruction. They want rebuild again. The destruction. Someone have to pay for it. You know, the Israeli created the mess. Someone have to clean it. And they want the Palestinian to be allowed to go fishing beyond 3 miles as agreed. All these demands were agreed on in Oslo Agreement back 20 years ago. So they want Palestinian to be able to fish beyond the 3 miles, the 12-mile zone, which is internationally recognized waterline. And the Israeli said no to all of those demands. And I forgot one more demand. The Palestinian wanted all those several hundred that have been arrested by Israel, which were released by Israel during the BOW exchange with the Israeli soldier that was captured with Hamas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then Israel released over 1,000 of them. During the last 2 months, Israel rearrested several hundred of those.
For cause? For a reason?
For no reason, no. Because they were a member of Hamas. Hamas said, okay, if you want ceasefire to end, if you want fighting to end, then release those prisoners. Which is fair and square to me. If Israel released them, rearrest them for no reason, they have to tell the rest of the world, why did you rearrest them? Why aren't you letting them go? So basically, technically speaking, Hamas did not really break the ceasefire. They both sides agree on a ceasefire for 72 hours. Once that expires, any party that start firing again, they resume the fighting and not breaking the ceasefire, so to speak.
Spav Trakis bringing you the other side of the news. I'm speaking with Mahmoud El Youssef, retired U.S. Air Force local writer and Palestinian American. A couple questions I want to touch on briefly. Is it fair to say that Israel is engaging in apartheid practices? Is this system so rigid within the country and with the isolation, should we compare this morally to apartheid?
I think so. There is no difference between the apartheid regime in southern Africa and what the Israelis are doing with the wall. They will build a wall longer and taller than the Berlin Wall, and it's basically separating Palestinians from their school, from their farm, from their relatives. Even the UN International Criminal Court demanded that Israel should tear down the wall and compensate Palestinians for land that Israel took as a result. Israel did not respond to that and basically ignore it, as it did in the past with the 69 plus UN resolution that Israel have ignored so far, refused to comply with or do anything else about it. And that's basically what's taking place. Now we have BDS movement all over the world, especially in Europe, taking place, where any product came from the West Bank would be considered illegal to be sold in Europe across the EU country. So people are going there in compliance with the EU law. They're taking it in grocery cart and emptying the shelf. And Israel is losing a lot. In the international stage, Israel is using its prestige. I mean, a few weeks ago, the president of Israel airplane were denied airspace over Norway. They wouldn't allow them to go there, or over Sweden rather. And so that's the price you pay when you violate international law. Many European already individual group and organization and NGO have filed war crime charges and warrant for the arrest of many of the Israeli current Israeli political and military leader. What would that mean? It means these people will be scared to fly over to Europe anytime soon of fear they will be arrested. And we know what happened to former U.S. Defense Secretary when he escaped from one European Switzerland into France with the help of the U.S. embassy staff for fear of being arrested.
Now, here's one of the key questions, and I don't know your own background on this, but it always struck me as particularly unjust, the right of return. 2,000 years ago, there was a diaspora. Rome forced Jewish people out of this region. And even though they've never been to Israel, if they're Jewish Americans or Jews anywhere in the world, they have a right to go there, even though they've never been there, and perhaps their relatives haven't been there in 2,000 years, and be citizens. But Palestinians, and I don't know your family situation, that were born there, can't go there. I'm living on Indian territory. Ohio didn't become a state in 1803. I mean, do the Indians have a... I mean, it makes more sense 200 versus 2,000 years ago to give Native Americans rights than it is to go that far in the past. What was your family situation?
Well, first of all, let me say that God, the promised land, by God, argument is like God is not really in real estate business. And if those Zionists who doesn't believe in God, why should they believe his word, argue his word that God promised them this land? My family came from Acre, which is the closest city to the Lebanese border, in 1948, and they were expelled to Lebanon.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, Mahmoud El Youssef, and you have a right to go back to Israel, don't you?
No, I'm not allowed. As a Palestinian, as a U.S. citizen, you can take my passport, and they say take it and shove it, and the U.S. embassy would do nothing. They say we don't interfere in internal affair of another country.
Sunday, August 17th, 10 a.m. at the State House. Sunday, August 17th, 10 a.m. at the State House, there'll be a protest rally against the Israeli bombing and occupation and boycott and sanctions against Palestine. Will you be there?
Absolutely. I'll be there, one of the speakers.
All right.
I'll be there with Mike and flyers and my Palestinian flag.
Thank you, Mahmoud El Youssef.
Thank you for having me.